but we'll just let it apply for today, all right? So you want to sing that with me? The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling today. There's joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure wine. I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight. Or today, amen? Hallelujah. Brother Mark, come on forward. Thank you, Carmen. We'll get that figured
out here. Hello, Victory Bible Class. Thank you for being here today. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Wait, rejoice. Are we joyful today? Are we rejoicing? We will rejoice and what? Be glad in it. Are we glad? Are we rejoicing? Are we glad? You know, if you have nothing else to rejoice about and to be joyful about, if there was nothing else, and that's not true, but if there was only one thing, the Lord made this day and he let you and me be a part of it. That right there is enough to rejoice about. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, thank you for being here in class today. I'm going to read off some updates to our prayer list. Then we'll look at birthdays and anniversaries, and then we'll pray and move on. By the way, I guess before I do that, if you get a chance, none of you can really see this now, but if you get a chance, you need to see my socks. I have some very patriotic looking. I know you can't really see them here. Even if I tried to show you, nobody in the back would be able to see it. So you can come up to me later if you would like to see my socks, because I only wear them, I guess, once a year or whatever. So anyway. They're very, very nice. Yeah, you might want to see Leroy's socks as well. So there you go. There's two choices for you. All right, prayer updates. Dave Rush pulled a muscle in his back. Is Dave here? I didn't see Dave. Not here. Okay. Must be pretty bad. Dave and I went to breakfast Friday, and he was fine. So I don't know what happened. But oh, I bet I do know what happened. He was putting new brakes on after that. I don't know. I'll have to check up on him. So let's remember Dave. Angela High having surgery on the 12th and the 16th. Is that right? Where's Diane? Yes. So she's having two surgeries?
On my nose
because
I have cancer.
Okay. All right. So let's remember Angela on, that's coming up in about 3 weeks. Okay. So let's remember Angela, two surgeries. Rosa Perez, if I said that right, if I didn't, I'm sorry, recovering from surgery. And Mary is a co-worker of Ortolina. Is that right? Yes, Mary's your co-worker. Okay, so we've got recovering from surgery, we've got Mary, we've got Dave Rush with pull muscle, and we've got Angela having two surgeries coming up. All right, so that's the updates to our prayer list. Let's look at birthdays and anniversaries. Man, birthdays. I'm hitting a new decade next year. I'm entering into a new decade. And I'm not depressed about that. It's actually, you know, it dawned on me recently, I have more knowledge and wisdom right now than I've ever had in my entire life. I can't remember any of it, but I've, now I'm depressed. Oh, man. All right, one birthday that we have. Record of. I know I saw it somewhere. Well, I forget. Yes, Mr. Sales somewhere. Yes, happy birthday. Any other birthdays that I missed? Yes, I see somebody pointing. Julia, birthday this week?
Yes.
Happy birthday. What day is your birthday on?
It was the 25th.
Oh, was the 25th. Okay, happy birthday to you. Anyone else? Anniversaries. One anniversary that I have here. Any others? Any anniversaries? Come on, let's see those hands. Anniversaries. Let's see those hands. Come on, get them up. Get them up there. All right. All right. How many years are we celebrating? Well, let's start with an easier question. What day is your anniversary?
Monday.
31st. Okay. Man, me entering into a new decade is not nearly as traumatic as trying to unravel this. Happy anniversary to you guys, all right? Any other anniversaries? Did we miss any? Yes? No? All right. Let's pray, and then Mr. Dan is going to come up and introduce a guest we have with us today. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good time we can have here in this class. Thank you for blessing us with it, and I pray our time today will be profitable. Lord, I've called out four names here that are updates to our prayer list. And I want to ask you to be with not only these four names that I've called out, but to the families, those close to them. And we've got some surgeries coming up. We've got some recoveries from surgeries. And Lord, just be with each one of these and bless them. And I pray for healing. Pray for grace through this. And I pray for strength. Pray for courage. I pray for wisdom and for decisions and for leadership. And thank you, Lord, for the time we have to be together. Bless our time here today. May it be profitable for us. And may we be people of thanks, people of praise. May we truly rejoice and be glad in this day because you made it and you gave it to us. You let us be a part of it. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mr. Dan. Amen.
You need this? Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you very much. It's so good to have this morning a dear friend of mine. I don't always get to say this. But because I don't have that many friends.
We can understand why.
But Danny and Dodie Ward, if you don't mind, Danny, come on up. Miss Dodie, if you don't mind, just wave at everybody. She's sitting by Carmen. Good friends of ours. We met the Wards in November of 2015, I believe, is when we first met them. We had just arrived in Mexico as missionaries. It was hotter than blazes, and we're in the Yucatan Peninsula, and it's Thanksgiving. This is the first Thanksgiving away from family and home, and normally Carmen would make a big to-do about Thanksgiving, and we got a message from somebody, I don't even remember who it was, the Allreds, said, hey, there's a bunch of missionaries getting together, and that's the one time in the year that all the missionaries get along, and I'm just teasing on that, but there were missionaries from different stripes. We all get together. And that city of Mérida is a city of now about 2 million now, and then you have 130 villages all around it. So just all kinds of people, and so there's plenty of room, and you can go months and not bump into anybody that you know. It's just crazy, but we get together for Thanksgiving. Everybody brought something, and it was on. I mean, and it was Thanksgiving in Mexico, and that's when we met the Wards. We developed a friendship right away, got to partner with them as we were there for the following 5 years, and it was just a wonderful time. They're getting ready to go back. They've been out, and I'll let him tell his story, but I just wanted to give you that groundwork, and so it's a blessing to have them here with us this morning, and I wanted to do as we do with our missionaries. By the way, to give you another, every time we have a missionary speak, there's always something that comes out that we didn't know about missionary life. And one of those things is, thinking about that, there's no reason why missionaries cannot get along. And same God, same word.
That's right.
There's no reason. And so with that philosophy, even though we had different ministries, and even though sometimes our ministries looked different, we could always come together for a game of Uno or night golf or just hanging out or going somewhere to eat salbutes and panuchos and just have a great time. And so that's an aspect of the missionary life that perhaps you might not have heard about. And it is very lonely if you're stuck in an area where you're by yourself, that you feel that. You feel that. And it was a blessing to be able to have them. I mean, I don't know how many times he holler at me, call me up. Hey, Dan, come rescue me. I got stuck
get
somewhere.
Get me out of jail.
Get me out. Well, I don't know. Did we ever have a jail experience? I don't think so.
I got pulled over a couple times.
You got pulled over a couple times, yeah. But I'd call on him to bail me out on something. He'd call on me, and it's just so nice to be able to do that. So, Brother Danny, tell us who you are, where you're from, how you got saved, and what led you to be in Mexico, if you will.
All right. First, I just want to say thank you for allowing us to be here with y'all today. The hospitality's been awesome. My dear friends have taken good care of me and my wife for the last 3 days that we've been here. It's just off the charts. Amen. That's all I can say about that. But it's, you know, he said something that God seems like God always sends people at the right time and the right place to help you get through certain stages of your life and ministry as well. And he brought these guys along and we just hit it off. And sometimes you need that. Like you said, sometimes you'll go years without fellowshipping with other people, especially Americans. And to be able to, God, to put us together and where we can just fellowship together. If anything, just fellowship together. That speaks a lot. To have friends that you can just get along with. And we were able to work together. He's preached at our church, and he's had me speak at his churches as well. And just to know that we can work together, amen? And it's all in the Bible, amen, in the book of Acts, a team method, and that's what we do. Our son-in-law and daughter, they work with us. We've been together now almost 11 years, working in the same ministry together. And but to be able to just to work together means a lot. Amen. So my wife was able to be here with us today. She just flew in a couple of days ago. We arrived mid-February. Her dad and her mom, they all live in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. And her dad passed away in March. So we had to come in earlier than expected because of all that. And she and her sister and her stepdad had health issues, almost died themselves over the last couple of months. So she's had her hands full. And now she's able to fly in before we head back and just take a deep breath and relax for a few days. Amen. So it's good to have her back with me. I've been traveling by myself for the last 2 months, and it gets lonely out there, all that driving and stuff. But go ahead and tell you a little bit about myself, where I was born and raised in the foothills of West Virginia, outside of Huntington, West Virginia, and just a farm boy, and went into the United States Navy in 80. I served in the military for about 6 years. I got out in 84, 85. Went to work for the United States Postal Service as a letter carrier. Carried mail for 22 years of my life. And in 1996, me and my wife and our three daughters moved to Brunswick, Georgia. And in 1997, me and my wife got saved. And we went through the Bible Institute there. It's a three-year college, I guess you could say. That's where I learned my Bible, under my pastor. And among many other things, serving the Lord and all that stuff. And then eventually our daughters ended up getting saved there as well. In 2007, I was 47 years of age. And I went on, actually in 2006, my wife and our two oldest daughters went on a missions trip to Mexico, northern Mexico. And when they got back, I saw a change in them that I've never seen before. I said, well, something has changed their attitude about things and the way they look at life. And sometimes God can get us away from everything we take for granted in a country that we live in and put us in a place like that to let us see what life and humbleness is all about when we look at other people and how they live in their different cultures and all that. So I saw that, and I was busy. I was carrying mail. I had a second job trying to make a little extra income and all that. Well, those girls kept after me, said, Dad, you got to go with us next year. Of course, I had every excuse under the sun, telling them why not, why I wasn't going to go, didn't have the money, blah, blah. I mean, the list went on and on, but they never gave up on me. Amen. And finally, I said, okay, I'll go. And then in 2007, just me and them went. And my wife stayed home with our youngest. And little did I know what God had in store for me. He had to get me away from everything that I was caught up in to humble me for the first time in my life to serve Him for the rest of my life. And I was asked to preach in a prison. I've never preached before. Yes, I've done soul winning for years. I knew how to lead people to the Lord and all that. And I told the missionary, I said, I don't preach. He said, well, we don't have anybody else. So they were going to the prison. And he asked me if I would, I guess I'll do whatever I can. And he left me sitting there by myself, and I was scared to death. I had no clue what was fixing to happen. And you know how good God is. He gives you peace, amen? He gives us peace that only He can give. And He just spoke to my heart. He said, you just tell them what I did for you, how I saved you, and changed your life. And that's what I did. So we went in there, had a 15-year-old boy translate for me. And when I got finished, four of those prisoners crawled on their stomach in the dirt and drug their bodies toward us with their hand raised in the air saying that they want that Jesus that we just talked about. Amen. To come into their heart and save them. And I grabbed these other missionaries that were there. And I said, take these men and show them from the Bible how they can know Christ as their Savior. And then that next Sunday service, the preacher preached a message on, have you reached your milestone yet? And that hit me hard. And if it wasn't for anybody, it was for me. And then he gave the invitation. And he had a bag of these smooth cobblestones. And he said, maybe you need to come down here and get a stone and get on the altar and talk to God. I got my stone out of his little bag. I laid on that altar and bawled like a baby. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do from this day forward for the rest of my life. God burdened my heart for the Hispanic-speaking people of Mexico. I still have my cobblestone in my office at the church. And I open that drawer and I see that stone all the time. And it reminds me where it all started. I flew home, not knowing how my wife was going to take the news. And she met us at the airport. And I said, we need to go grab some lunch. There's something I need to tell you. And she said, okay. So I said, I kind of said it kind of fast because I was nervous and I didn't know what kind of reaction I was going to get. I said, we're quitting the post office and we're going to Mexico. But something like that. And she just went, hold on. She said, I think we need to take this conversation to the house where we can just calm down. And we did. And she saw the seriousness of it. She saw my heart. And the next morning I got up and she was sitting in the living room with her Bible and crying. And I went over to her. I said, what's wrong? And she said, I have been praying for 10 years that God would call you in this service, to the ministry. I've been ready to follow you ever since, and I didn't even know it. Isn't God good? He had her heart prepared before He even got a hold of me. And then I look back all those years serving in the church and all that, and I said, why now? Why at 47 years of age? And the only thing I can tell you is I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready spiritually. I wasn't ready mentally, not knowledgeable enough, to not knowing what I had to do to get to the field. And I went and met with my pastor, hadn't even unpacked my bags. He said, you know, you need to go to Bible college. I said, man, I am 47 years of age, and you want me to go to Bible college? He said, I promise you, you're going to need it. And he was right. I wouldn't be where I am today without it. And we packed it all up, left Brunswick, Georgia, went to North Augusta, South Carolina under Dr. Larry Brown, Victory Baptist College in North Augusta, South Carolina. That's where my daughters met their husbands, and they're all on the mission field. My whole family's on the mission field. Me and my two oldest daughters graduated Bible college together. I never dreamed that would ever happen. And When I started, I got with Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples in 2009 and started deputation, because I told her, I said, you didn't realize I'll be 52 when I graduate. Then we got to start deputation. I said, we need to start now. So I started right in the middle of Bible college. I was preaching out Wednesday night on the weekends, traveling all over the country. And when we graduated in 2011, I was at 64% of our support. We did another year or so after that and raised what we needed. And then we left for Mexico in 2012. We started out where I thought the Lord wanted me to go, in Chiapas, in a place called San Cristobal de las Casas. It's in the mountain area. And didn't know any language. I mean, only language I knew was burrito and taco. That's about it. That's as far as it went. And I promise you, I know a little bit. I know a little more now than I did that day I got there. Amen. And so we were there 8 months, and some things developed that we had to leave. And I don't need to go into all that. Sometimes we'll go to a place where we think God wants us to be, but it's not where God wants us to be. And I learned over the years He can change our direction like that. Amen. And so we realized that wasn't where God wanted us to be. I talked to my pastor, my president of our mission board, and they gave us advice. And then the Lord led us to Mérida, Mexico, which is the capital city of the Yucatan Peninsula. We're 4 hours west of Cancun, right on the Gulf. And like he said, the city's 2 million people. And we have about 200 villages that surrounds us. We have our church is doing fantastic. We're running about 100 folks now in our services. Our church supports 7 national missionaries around the world. We hadn't had a missions conference since COVID hit. And our president of our mission board came down in March. That we had a combined missions conference with another fellow that we were working with. And so at that point, they were only given 70,000 pesos a year to support these missionaries. And after we did this missions conference in March, my son-in-law contacted me. He said, Dad, it all hasn't came in yet, but we're already over 165,000 pesos. So it went from $3,000 to over $10,000 like that. And let me tell you something, these are people that don't have anything. We cater food to these families, and they can testify to that every week. But they gave from within themselves is the type of people they are. And they're just a blessing. We have all kinds of different, I'm sure you'll be showing the video sometime. Yes. And you'll get to see all that. But anyway, that's where we're at
today. We've got his presentation that we'll take, and he'll show, we'll show that to the church on a Wednesday night here pretty soon. And let you see all that. But anyway, so Brother Danny, tell me about what it feels like for a 50-year-old to go to a new place and have to learn a new culture and also a new language. Describe to us what that's like.
If I'm going to be honest with you, I'm human. Was I scared? Absolutely. Were there things going through my mind? No doubt. But like I said, you know, at 47 years of age, I just couldn't understand why now. But you know, the Bible tells all of us, my favorite verses in the Bible is Matthew chapter 28, and the Great Commission of God. He tells all believers to go into all the world, amen, and preach and teach the gospel. That's all of us that are saved to do that. And I'm, you know, and the way I look back on all that, and I realize as long as I got air in my lungs, I'm never too old to serve the Lord. Amen? No matter how old we are. There's something that we all can do. And so I was thinking, it is going to be a challenge. But I'm one of those guys, I don't let anything get in my way. If God's in it, I'm all for it, and I'm going to give Him 110%. And yes, it was challenging, but it's just one of those things that we have to go through. And the first thing I did when we got there, and we're going through language school and all that, and I said, Lord, let me learn in Spanish how I can take this Bible and lead somebody to Christ. I said, that's the first thing I want to learn. And I did that. And then everything else kind of fell into place, hanging around people like Danny and his wife and another missionary family. She was our Spanish teacher for a few years. That's where she was actually, God just brought them there. I mean, that's just how good God is. And I'm still learning, by the way. I'm still not fluent. I'm 63 now. And I probably will never be, I guess, super fluent in the Spanish language. To give you an example, I do a Bible study class each week in Spanish. But my preaching, the way I just can't get it to click yet. But it's coming. Amen? Because I'm practicing in this class. And those people are helping me to get to that point. But God gave me a young man. I don't even have to slow down. I don't know if you ever had an interpreter while you're preaching, this pastor here. But it's something you have to stop a lot and try to regain your thoughts and all that. With this fella, I don't. I just keep on going. But that's just another thing that God did. He just puts people like that in our path. But I was worried. You know, here I am leaving a 22-year-old career with the United States government, and I've had a lot of people say things to me. You're going to starve your family to death. You've lost your mind. I mean, the list went on and on. I just had to block all that out. I had to keep my focus on the Lord and what the Lord has called me to do. And that's what got me through it all. Amen. Amen.
And the Lord's used him in a great way. He touched on something that I believe God has given them as a blessing, especially to an older couple, not old, but just an older couple. And that is, he touched on the fact that all his daughters, let's see, you got three daughters, right? The oldest is married to
Adrian.
He's a missionary in Guatemala. And it's a hop and a skip away. There's a direct flight from, is it Guatemala City?
Mm-hmm.
Guatemala City to Merida. And so, in fact, the grandkids right now are waiting in Merida. They came for a visit expecting them to show up. So on Tuesday when they arrive, all the grandkids are going to be together, and they get to be together with the grandkids. So you've got Adrian and Marissa, and then
Jared and Chelsea,
his other daughter. They've partnered with them, and they serve together in the ministry there. And so they've got grandkids with them. And then the youngest, Brianna, married Beto. And a local man there. And they're doing great, and they've got grandkids. And so they have the added blessing of having all the grandbabies right there with them. Some are in Guatemala, but it's not too far away. For those of you that don't know, just below the lower part of Mexico, you go through Belize, but then Guatemala is right close by. And so they have that, and that's a blessing, an added blessing. One thing that Carmen and I have talked about repeatedly after we had met them, what he had mentioned is true, and that is he just keeps plowing ahead and doesn't let it get him down. And sometimes it can, as an individual, when you're doing something that's foreign to you, you've never done before, you know how it feels. Until you've done it once or twice, then you're like, okay, that wasn't too bad. I can do that. But when you're working with something like a language and you're trying to communicate, and for a minister of the gospel, you rest entirely on being able to communicate the message. And it's so frustrating to not have the language. But he never let it get him down. And he just kept moving forward. And you know, God honors that, and he blesses that, and he's done that. Mrs. Julia Garst, she could testify to that, that God will honor that, and he'll bless that, and he'll use that, and he has, and he's done a great thing. Okay, so let's talk about challenges when you got to Mérida. Tell us a little bit about the heat in Mérida. It's beautiful.
I thought Southeast Georgia was hot. And we lived there for about 12 years. And my lands. this place is, the average temperature year-round, 90 to 97 degrees. Right now in April through, well, we're in the hottest months right now. We're over 100 degrees. Rainy season will start next month, and that goes to October. And then we won't see rain again until June of the following year. Maybe every now and then we might get a shower to cool things down, but that's about it. And I'll never forget when I first moved there, we were talking to a local pastor, trying to get some information out of him about churches in this massive city and all that. And he looked at me and he said, now I'm not saying this to be vulgar or any of that. He looked at me seriously. He said, you have just moved to hell. And I looked at him and I said, I know it's hot here, but hell's going to be even hotter than this, I promise you. Amen. But he's not far fetched. It is hot. in the day.
Yeah, it's quite warm. Quite warm. Dumb Americans, you know, the first Christmas we were there, it literally is registering 100 degrees on the thermometer. And dumb Americans, we open everything up, throw the windows up, and that's not the thing to do in that kind of heat. You're supposed to shut everything down. And it stays cooler. I know that sounds crazy, but and another thing that we do as Americans, when we get hot, we wear short sleeves and, you know, we take things off when it gets hot. Mexicans don't do that. They put it on, and they cover up.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that has got to be the craziest thing. But sure enough, I finally learned after a couple episodes of getting overheated that you do have to cover up.
The sweat.
It's not uncommon on a Sunday morning. When you're done on a Sunday morning, you are totally drenched,
right,
aren't you, after preaching and all that. So tell us about the current situation with the church that has been started in the neighborhood, started in someone's home. They offered their home. And then tell us where you're at right now and what project you got going on.
We started in 2014. We all pulled together as three families and worked together for, actually Jason was with us for 7 years. A year ago, he broke off, started his own church in another location, which we have helped him with to get everything going there. And he's doing fantastic with that. In 2014, we just went into this neighborhood of 50,000 people now, is about how many people are in that one neighborhood. And we started at one family's house in their little dirt yard, and they all got saved, and we were just basically discipling them there at their house. That lasted for about 2 months in 100-degree heat, sitting out there in these little folded chairs and stuff. And then the Lord opened the door for us to rent a house, a two-bedroom house on the main street on the corner, and we turned that place into a place of worship. And that's we still have that today. And within the first year, we had to do a renovation because we were started to grow. We went from a little tiny room. We put two rooms together, outgrew that, had to knock out other walls. And it just started, the Lord just started to bless in the ministry. And then about 2 years later, we had to do another renovation. So we've gone through three renovations now in 10 years, and now there's no more walls to knock out. We've done about all, and I think the landlords might get upset if we... actually, there's just nowhere else to go. The lot's really small. The house behind the house that we have, we were able to rent it as well about 5 years ago or so. And that's our Sunday school building. It takes care of all the Sunday school classes and all that. And so the Lord's blessed us with we have actually the whole city block now. But we rent both of the houses, and the church up keeps everything and all that. And so I was like, you know, I didn't quite understand why the Lord brought me home to do a furlough. I just don't like being away from our people. We got a whole lot going on. But God's taught me some things since I've been on this trip. I need to get recharged. I need to be preached to as well. Amen. As much as I love preaching, but I need to be fed, and it keeps that fire going in you to keep on going to do the things of God. And I realized, you know, to communicate with our supporting churches and some new ones. I've been in a lot of new churches in the last 2 months, and the Lord's blessed and all that. So I was in Florida for 3 weeks. I haven't mentioned anything about property, growing, you know, having to build a bigger complex, anything like that. And I met a man in Plant City, Florida. I knew him. He helped my son-in-law in Guatemala. They bought some property down there with this guy. The Lord has blessed this man financially with his businesses. And he had a 17-year-old son that was killed in a car wreck. I forgot how many years ago it was. And in the churches in that area, none of them were mission-minded. They didn't want to do anything for missions. He said, well, if they're not going to do it, I'll do it myself. So he started his own organization called Crossing Jordan. His son's name was Jordan. And he said, the way I operate, I spent 2 whole days with him and his wife. And he said, I invest into missionaries. Whatever they need, I put money into it. And this man's been doing it for 20 years. And he goes, I can't afford not to do it. Because every time I give to a missionary, God just keeps expanding my business. And it's crazy what the Lord is doing through this man's business. And he's right. You can't outgive God. And he knows that. Amen. He said, I can't give my money away fast enough because my business just keeps going like this. And he saw how God is blessing. So he partnered up with us. And he said, the way I work, he said, whatever you need, I match it dollar for dollar. He goes, I don't care if it's $500,000, I will match it, $500,000. And so we got to talking about, he saw my video, and one of our goals on the video you'll see is we want to start a Bible college next year. We have men in the church that we want to get them trained to further the gospel of Jesus. I already got a couple of men now preaching out of our church. And he saw the building that where we were maxed out. And we needed more room. So he said, if you can get the ball rolling, find something, I'll match it half of whatever you need. So I called my son-in-law. I said, I need you to start looking for property. I got a guy here who's willing to be a match, basically. So he property where we live, as Danny knows, is extremely expensive. Because anytime you get near a major city like that, property is can be costly. Especially it's a tourist area, a lot of tourism there as well. And so he got to looking. I didn't want to leave the neighborhood because we have a lot of people walk to church, and I didn't want to lose anybody. He called me back about a few days later, and he said, Dad, there's a piece of land 3 blocks from the church, and it's already got a 6,000 unfinished square foot L-shaped building sitting on it. And I said, okay. I said, now we'll go talk to them and see what the deal is. And the guy says, I'll just give it to you in American dollars. They wanted $323,000 for a half acre of land with this unfinished building on it. And so I say, okay, let's just be still and see what happens. And I took my son-in-law actually, he's like a godson to me. I took him in, a young man from Mexico. He was raised in the boys' home. Anyway, I took him and his wife out to eat one night while I was in Augusta, Georgia. And they fought me to pay for the meal. I said, no, I'm going to pay for it because I want to receive the blessings of God. God's going to do something. I no sooner got in my car, Jared calls me from Mexico. Dad, they just dropped the price, $50,000. And all I did was paid for a meal. Now, it sounds funny, but that's how good God is. Amen? And then, so that brought the price down to $273,000. I called the guy back in Florida. I said, here's where they're at. I don't think they're going to go much lower than that. He said, I got $140,000 ready to send as soon as God brings in the other half. 3 weeks ago, I preached outside of Atlanta, Georgia. The church gave me $4,000. I preached Wednesday night in Hayesville, North Carolina. The church gave me $6,000. I learned that I had to move out of the way and let God have control of this thing. Because I can't do anything. Everything I do, I can make a mess out of it. Amen? And isn't that the way we all are? We try to fix and do everything, but if we just step back and let God have control of it, of our life, and just watch Him work. I'm just overwhelmed right now. And all this has just happened in the last few weeks. And that we can buy this piece of property. It'll do everything we want it to do, build a 300-seat auditorium off of it. We haven't had a choir in 10 years because our platform's so small, it just barely holds all the instruments that we have. And we have people that want to sing for the Lord. And I have a vision, amen, to have a base compound, so to speak, that we can further the gospel into all the surrounding villages, communities of this massive city for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, so you know what to pray for them over. There's some prayer cards in the foyer on the table there by the doors. If you don't mind, pick one up, pray for them. And God has already done a great work through His servants. And hopefully He can use us to do this, to work with them and partner with them in that. And you know what to pray for them about, and pray that God will give that to them and get that done. We're going to go ahead and pray this morning. And I thank the Lord for Brother Danny's friendship, Miss Doty. And I'm so thankful that they got to come by. And truthfully, they needed rest. And so for the last couple days, Pastor had told me, he said, you take care of them. And we just made it a point to spoil them a little bit and to take care of them, and they needed it, and I'm glad that they did. They're going back on Tuesday. They're going to hit the ground running, and God is doing great things.
Amen.
In Mérida, Yucatán. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege that we've had to meet Brother Danny, Miss Doty, and here are the great things that you have done in Mérida, Yucatán. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to use them for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would continue to meet their needs. Continue to help him as he reaches out and reaches others, Lord, as they are working in these different villages. And Lord, I just pray that you would multiply blessings. You'll multiply souls to their account, we pray. Thank you for calling them. Thank you for equipping them. And Lord, if there's someone in this room that you've touched their heart about something that they need to do for you, it may not be go be a missionary somewhere. It may be just get involved in a ministry here in the local church. Lord, I pray that you would help whomever it is that you're touching their heart. Lord, I pray that you would help them to realize that though it might appear to be a little scary at first, that it is you.